Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Natalia of Green Studio Marketing, and today we are discussing pricing and how to raise your prices guilt-free. Green Studio is an ethical content marketing agency focused on helping small businesses and entrepreneurs get found online with powerful websites and strategic content using storytelling. Natalia strongly believes the world needs more conscious leadership in business. Thanks so much for joining us today, Natalia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to talk to you.
So let's delve into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm tuning in from Mexico. I'm from Mexico and I live in San Luis Potosí, and it's very sunny here. Nice weather.
Beautiful. Yes. I just started snowing here in Canada, so I'm very jealous.
Yeah. I used to live in Michigan, so I don't miss the cold at all.
Yeah. So tell us, what really motivates you or gets you out of bed in the morning?
I guess I would say like my business, because I really love that I built like this dream job and that I get to help people. And like my purpose is really more towards helping sustainable business owners or entrepreneurs that have businesses, but like with a purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm like tired of old school marketing. So I really like to help people define, you know, their purpose so that they can also enjoy what they do every day. So that's so really cool. What makes me wake up every morning, like really happy to help everyone that I help out.
I love that. That's so cool. Yeah. So how did you get into digital marketing to start?
Well, at first I studied marketing, and I also studied a master's in digital marketing. But before I even started working in the field, I guess it was like a series of life events that made me have a business. I never really knew that I would actually, you know, be an entrepreneur. I always had that corporate mindset that I would, you know, build in the corporate ladder and, you know, maybe handle a team inside a business someday. But then when I was at like my previous job in Mexico before I moved to the US, I had like some spare time, and I started to start like a side business with my mom, and we started like a fashion brand. And then from that, I had to move to the US. So I had to like sort of get, you know, put everything on pause because I got married. And then in the US, you know how everything is really complicated with the visas and all of that. So only my husband could work. And I was 25 years old, and I was like, okay, I have, you know, a master's in digital marketing. I studied marketing. I'm here, but I can't officially work for an employer in the US. But I felt like I wanted to do something with my life. And then it was really like a moment of, you know, personal development for me as well, because I was like, what am I going to do? I don't want to sit around in my couch all day and, you know, not do anything for the rest of my life. So since I had that like mini hobby that I had started with my mom of selling clothes, I thought, well, I've always loved fashion. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of opportunities and online where you can build a business from anywhere. So I started blogging about sustainable fashion, and I started a sustainable fashion blog. And then, since I'm pretty intense, I was like, okay, since I can't really work right now and this is going to be my hobby, I'm going to do it, you know, the right way. So I educated myself. I started, you know, thinking about how I could work with brands. And then, you know, one small partnership started to lead to another. And then since I have this marketing background, I started giving advice, you know, and telling the brands that I was working with, oh, you know, you're going to do this collaboration with me, but you should also do this, and you should also be here, and you should also blah, blah, blah. And then that sort of snowballed into people telling me like, oh, do you want to help me out? Or, you know, can you help me out with my website? Because I had like these people that were that were sustainable brands that started to ask for help. But also in my inner circle, people knew that I was like tech savvy, and they were like, oh, can you help me with the website, or can you help me with my social media? And then it all started to make sense to me. And I was like, okay, instead of pushing and becoming obsessed of becoming an employee and working for a business, like maybe right now I have two people interested, but this could definitely become my full-time job. And that's sort of how it happened, like in a short version.
That's so cool. So tell us more about Green Studio Marketing.
Yeah, so a Green Studio Marketing is like you mentioned, an ethical content marketing agency. So basically I focus like on three core services. I help copywriting with clients, and I create a content plan for them that helps not only to get ranked on Google, but also with the storytelling part, like I was mentioning, you know, that we need to sort of find this way to make consumers want to buy products without being pushy all the time. So that's sort of like my secret sauce, I would say, like, or my little, you know, cherry on top of what I do, because it's talking to conscious consumers, which are not regular consumers. It's people that, you know, you don't need to tell me I need an iPhone, you know, 10, I'll buy it if I want to, I'll invest in the brands that I believe in. So it's a different type of storytelling. And that's something that I really enjoy, because that's actually like what was my hobby before I started, you know, charging for this service. I love writing about that part. And I also help with website design, but with the strategic website design part of, you know, digital marketing, because I also saw that there's many agencies that just, you know, sell you like a really expensive package, but they don't really tell you how to make your website successful. So that's why I combine these two skills of, yeah, I'm going to do your website, but I'm also going to show you how to grow it and how to start getting organic traffic and how to have, you know, a full marketing strategy, because especially with my type of clients, they're like really different. They're like the copywriting clients that already have a website, are already growing, but there's also a lot of entrepreneurs that really have no idea how to start selling online. So I really like combining like these two kinds of skills to make sure that the entrepreneurs that are starting out know like the big picture of what they need in order to build a successful business online, because you know, there's a lot of information there and online, and you can get lost. And if you don't have someone that really guides you step by step, you even get frustrated and you're like, okay, I have a website, but I don't have any visitors, and I'm just going to cancel my Shopify website, or I'm just going to, you know, quit on my idea. And it's like, no, you don't have to quit. You just have to learn how to build a business online. It's the same as building a business physically. That's something I always tell my clients as well. It's like when you open a website, it's not like, okay, magically 100 people are going to find me. It's like the same as if you were opening a shop in the middle of the desert, right? You need to market it, and you need to get people to find it, so that you start to grow your online presence. So that's the essence of what I do: websites and copywriting. And I also like do some on the side projects as well, if people need to.
Very cool. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. So let's delve into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about pricing and how to raise your prices guilt-free. So let's talk about how you started off. I think, like most, you were, you know, probably undercharging a little bit. So tell us about how you started off, with pricing your services.
Yeah, that's, you're going to laugh at my first prices, because basically when I started, it was really like a hobby, like I mentioned. So it was an experiment. I didn't really have like a really clear vision of this is going to be my full-time job eventually. So it was really experimenting. And since people started asking in my inner circle for help, and I had like my first clients that invested in marketing services with me, like the first website I charged, I think, was like for $50.
Wow.
I charged it for $50. But because I felt bad, and that's something that I've learned to really, shove off those feelings, because I was like, how am I going to charge, you know, $50 for doing a website on Wix or Squarespace or Shopify? It's so easy. Anyone can do it. You can Google a YouTube video. And it's like, I felt really bad about charging my first $50. Yeah. But then over time, I obviously learned that this is not right if you want to formalize the business, if you want to, you know, subcontract people to help you, etc. So after I had like my first round of those clients, then I said, okay, this is wrong. I have to you know, analyze what my process is, the amount of time that I invest in doing the websites, and then I just decided to start charging $200. But still, it's not it wasn't really a price point that's scalable, and that's something that I've learned up until this point as well, because I've always been struggling with having this mixed audience of, you know, Spanish people, because I'm from Mexico, and Latin American people that ask me for help, where $200 is actually starting to get expensive in Latin America. But in the US, it's like really undercharged this in website design services, for example. So I've had to learn how to like make that balance in my pricing, where I think an important part is also storytelling and knowing your worth, because when I was starting, obviously I knew that I wanted to help, you know, with the copywriting and with the services that I mentioned, but I still maybe had these little insecurities of not like, you know, putting myself out there, like, this is what I'm worth. Either if you live in Mexico or if you live in the US, like, this is what I'm worth.
And like you had like some imposter syndrome.
Exactly. I felt bad about charging what I was worth, even to people in Mexico, until I don't know. I think it's something that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with. But once you start to see the results that you give to people, you know, the quality of your service, and yeah. You know, you compare yourself, like when you work for a business and you have certain salary, it's like, okay, my rate per hour when I was in a business was this much, you know, so why shouldn't I charge the same? It's like when you're helping a lot of people, you know, when you're an agency, it's very different, because you want to make it like you want to make a service that fits your client's budget. But then at the same time, it's like, okay, if this client was, you know, hiring some of the agencies that big companies like Unilever or Coca-Cola or others, you know, hire, how much would that cost? You know, so yeah. It's like really putting on like your blazer, like feeling like a girl boss or, you know, like a big entrepreneur, and say like, yeah, this, like, even if it's a small agency or even if you have a small team, you have to put on that hat. Like, I'm the CEO of this agency, and I'm going to help you grow your business, and it's going to cost you this. So until I repeated that to myself, like several times, I've come to the point where, like, what I try to do is every year, try to analyze like sort of my average price range. And then from that, I start building up my prices. So after I had like this second wave of clients where I was charging around $200 per project, I got more strategic, and I started to define, okay, my specific services are, you know, 1, 2, and 3. These are the things that are included. But I think you can also start to get like really creative into what you can include to make the transformation process with your clients bigger. And the bigger it is, the more you can charge. So that's sort of what has been my process every year. So now it's like, okay, I've had these clients that I did a website for $200, but now I want to make sure that when they have a website, they have all the knowledge they need to make it successful. So this comes as a like a combo now that I sell, that I do the website, but I'm also going to teach you and, you know, walk you through how to launch it before the launch, the things that you need to do to define your business, et cetera, et cetera.
And now is that like a monthly recurring service that you offer to them? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So this is a program that right now I'm like beta testing in Spanish, but it's basically like a program where you pay a monthly fee for 12 months, and we work together to help you define your business, to help you launch your website. But it's like a more long-term program. And that's like for the entrepreneurs, but also for the services that I have with copywriting. I'm always thinking about how can I make my clients have a better experience. So if you know, in the past years I was only offering, you know, one blog post per month, and now I'm doing, okay, you know, I'm gonna do your blog strategy, but if you want, I can also do your newsletter strategy, and I can also help you with, you know, any SEO changes that your website might need, and maintenance and stuff like that. And then you can just build up on, you know, like having a more robust service so that you can charge more for it. But it's like, it's really about, in my case, since I've wanted to have like my agency where I'm a solopreneur and I subcontract people, I'm not a huge agency right now. I like having that balance of having high ticket clients that I feel comfortable handling, that the transformation process is for them is relevant, but but that, and that this also allows me to keep growing and to keep like charging more once I see that, you know, I'm sort of in that place. But it's funny because I listen to a lot of podcasts and in this topic, they always, like, another advice that I once heard is like, you also have to sort of feel the range of the prices that you're charging. So, mm-hmm. So like I was mentioning when I was like in the 200 range, and now I would say like doubled or tripled my prices this year. I'm starting to get like these high ticket clients, but they took me like one complete year to start to get them organically. Right. So, So you also have to make sure that now that you charge, you know, two or three times what you were charging last year, you have to make sure that these new, like a range of clients get results so that you have great testimonials so that maybe in the future, if you make tweaks to your offers and your services, then you can back up your prices because you also have people that are, you know, validating that they paid that, but that it was also a good experience for them and that they're happy to, like, that they don't regret that investment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you're raising your prices on average about 50% every year. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so when you're raising your prices, do you raise them on existing clients too, or will you sort of keep them at the original price point they were at and then only offer the increased price to new clients? How does that work?
I offer like the basic service that they still have, but my strategy for the future is like, if I come to a point where, okay, I have to, you know, switch to this complete different price, I would offer them like, okay, this is like my new package for next year. If you want to upgrade, it's going to be, you know, $100 or $200 more per month, but it's going to include this. And if not, then we have to finalize our contract. So, because I don't like to also like let them know like, okay, you believed in me and I don't care about you anymore because.
Exactly.
Now, yeah, no. I try to give them options and in when you're growing, you have to find the way to keep your past clients happy as well, because I don't like throwing them away at all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And then, so how do you deal with client objections? You know, if they have any issues with pricing, how do you approach that?
Basically, I would say I don't know how to frame it. I make them feel secure. I make them know that, you know, yes, this is an investment, but like you're going to know everything that you need to know in order to make your business successful after you work with me. So if you're not happy, like for the copywriting clients, we have a contract and, you know, there's ways that they can get out of it. But the copywriting is like $100 per month right now for a blog post. But if they want more services, they can add more down the road. And for the websites, I've had a lot of objections that people are scared to invest, but I think that it's a lot about mindset. And that's why, like, yeah. I'm really good at having sales call with people, because it's like, for me, it was scary to, you know, invest my first $300 when I had that hobby fashion business that I talked to you about with my mom. But yeah. Then I went to 3 pop-up events and I tripled or quadrupled, you know, what I had invested. Then it was scary to have a website and have, you know, no one to sell my products to. But then after, you know, investing time in my business right now, I have a business that even allowed me to quit my full-time job and to not have the need to go back to a full-time job because I've built my own income. So when you start to see the return, that's something that you also have to sort of as an agency owner, like let your clients know, like, yes, it's scary, but that's why you're working with me. And that's why I'm going to help you get that return. Oh, obviously you have to be very careful about not promising what you can't, what you can't really do for them, and like set really clear expectations and boundaries and what your yeah. service is like and what you're going to be doing. But at least it's like, it's always better to have more than one brain when you're starting a business. And that's what you as an agency are. So yeah. you have to be like really secure about telling that to your clients.
Yeah. Yeah. Just being, I think being really confident in your abilities and, you know, also, mm-hmm. you know, you've got those happy customers to back it up. You're an expert in the field. I think mm-hmm. all those things really play a role, and then just being, you know, like standing your ground, like this is what I charge, this is what I'm worth. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's an extremely valuable service. So, okay.
Yeah. Cause at first I did do like when I was a little bit more insecure about my prices, I was like, okay, if you can't pay, then I'll give you a discount. And no. Really quickly after a couple of people that I did that, I regretted it right away, because people that don't understand your worth as well. I also listened to this phrase in another podcast or with someone that was talking about pricing. It's like when you look at someone's marketing strategy, like from the outside, and you look at their Instagram, you look at their website, you look at how they market themselves, and you feel that it's not worth what they're charging, then maybe you're doing something wrong as a business owner, because you have to make sure that, like, to the outside world, it's like, this is what I'm worth. And I'm not going to undercharge for this. But if people are constantly telling you like, oh, that's not, you know, that price is not, it's not worth, or it shouldn't be your worth, you have to really rethink how you can back up like your marketing, like your marketing vision. I don't know how to say it. Like, you have to think about how people look at you and how they are perceiving your brand, so that if you're not really like backing up, this is what I'm worth in all your marketing channels, then you're doing something wrong in your marketing strategy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, like, they just probably aren't even a good fit. You know, they're probably just not a client that you want to work with if they're that focused on, you know, exactly, lowballing you for price.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm a big believer, if some people aren't turning you away because the cost of your goods is too expensive, that you're not charging enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are some lessons that you've learned from owning a small marketing agency?
I guess like the main lesson is this one that we're talking about, the pricing, because if I would have had a clear vision of, you know, this is going to be my full-time job in the future, I probably would have done a few things differently and had like more specific pricing similar to what I'm aiming at right now than what I started out with, because it's also not that great in my opinion that, you know, when you're experimenting things, you're like changing your prices every year. I mean, it's totally doable if you start to do your marketing right and you change up the things and you explain to your audience that you're changing the way you do your services and that's why it costs different. But if I knew that this was really going to be my full-time job, I would have had a more robust price strategy when I was starting out.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And where do you see Green Studio Marketing in 5 years' time?
Well, I would love to have more people on my team. Like right now I work with two copywriters. I have, a virtual assistant, which is my sister. And I just do projects with them like on a freelance basis. They're not really employees, but I would love to have impacted, you know, like at least 100 more, you know, people, have at least, you know, 10 or 20 more copywriting clients that are like recurring and really impacting more in the sustainable niche, because I've also struggled with the mixed audience. I would say that I feel like I can help everybody, and sometimes it's like I'm missing arms to help more people and to spread the word and to help, you know, especially in Latin America, there's like so many brands that have beautiful things and you know, artisan made products and stuff like that, but they really don't have the tools to leverage their brand into an international market. And then I see a lot of Canadian and, you know, US brands that I also love to work with, but then they sometimes even go to, you know, Asia or to China or to India to find their artisans. And there's like so much talent in Latin America, but it's like under the rocks because, you know, digital marketing is not so developed. So I would love to be like part of that in, you know, 5 years and help a lot more people.
Very cool. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Currently I'm reading from The Minimalists. I don't know if you've heard about them, but they have like this series on Netflix, but I've since I went through a lot of personal growth, I really love reading about minimalism. So their book is like a series of their blog posts compiled, but it really helps me because it's sort of like today I'm feeling a little, you know, off, and then I just read a couple of pages and it helps me, you know, recenter. So I really
Very cool.
Yeah,
I'm really interested in minimalism as well. So that's cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
And what does your morning routine look like?
Well, normally I wake up, I like to do yoga right here, actually, and like, this is like my virtual office. I like to do yoga, then I just have, you know, breakfast, and I start working like right away, like around 9, 10 a.m. I think the cool thing about, you know, having your business is that I have this flexibility. So also, like, if some days I want to start off by reading, you know, about some things in my industry, or I just pick the projects that I want to work with. I organize my week, but I really love having the flexibility of being, you know, the boss of your own time. So
yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I am really obsessed with Neil Patel. I don't know if you've heard of
him. Yes, I have.
Yeah. So I love everything that he does. He's basically like his newsletters, his emails, his social media, his videos, everything. Like, he always makes me laugh because he makes SEO sound more fun, because SEO is kind of boring. So he's like, do you want more traffic? Yes, I want more traffic. It's like, he has really great strategies that I really like to like stalk him everywhere, because he always gives me ideas of, especially in my industry. So yeah.
Very cool. And then what is your favorite online tool?
His tool, Uber Suggest. Yeah, Uber Suggest is his tool. It's for keyword research. And I think it's one of the best ones out there, because it's like really complete, and I love it.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That I shouldn't have done everything alone, I guess.
That's a good one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I think like we mentioned in this podcast episode, you know, building a business is a journey. It's not perfect. You sort of start to make changes when you start building it into your dream business. But I think that, like, if I had known that this would be what it is today, I would have had a little bit less fear when I was starting out. I would have maybe made some partnerships from the beginning with people, even in my inner circle, that are also doing similar things that I am doing. So
yeah,
it's always good to tell yourself, like what I tell my clients now, don't do everything alone, because yes, you can Google everything. You can spend, you know, all of your days on YouTube videos and, you know, work from 9 to 12 PM trying to figure out how to make a successful online business. But
yeah,
when you work with someone and investing in other people and in other courses, which is something that I've also been doing and constantly do, I'm never close to keep on learning. It has made like an enormous impact on my business, having this clarity of this is what I have to do to keep scaling and to keep growing and to keep building funnels and to keep, you know, learning about Facebook ads and everything else that, you know, that you probably need to have a successful business. So
exactly,
losing that fear of working with others and investing in others.
Great advice. I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Natalia. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thank you. I had a good time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.